All right, if you'd open your Bibles with me, we're headed back into 1 Corinthians again. And Lord willing, we're going to pick it up in the third chapter and the 16th verse. And what a mighty encouragement from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the third chapter and the 16th verse. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now again, I think it's so important that we understand and continue to bring back to who Paul again is speaking to here. And these Corinthian brothers and sisters, they definitely are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, but as you can see the bickering and divisions that were going on. And as we're going to read on, if the Lord tarry, about these folks, I mean, they were some immoral people. They had some major issues. And here he goes and is encouraged by the Spirit to remind them and to remind us. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You're his temple. You are his temple, and he dwells in you. And he doesn't leave, and he's there. And he's going to deal with you by the grace of God. And I would just hope, as just as Paul is encouraging these people, we need to realize who and what we are in Christ Jesus. And how valuable that we are to him. And how he treasures us. And how he thinks about us. And how, again, from the very beginning of this moment of the beginning, or Alpha, if you want to think about it, he saw you. He saw that temple. And he wants to grow within us. So again, to make these people realize how important and how vital we are. We are the children of God. You are a son of God. Now grow up. Now grow up into that mature son. This is the, again, setting the church in order here. Understand that, you know, there isn't anything more precious, anything more special, anything more cherished of God than his sons. And now, right now, are we the sons of God? I think when that sometimes will hit us, Lord, help us to wake up. Help us to understand what you're calling us to. Help us to know what we are in you right now. Now, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, so important here, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. God is not going to destroy his temple. But again, how important it is that we treat one another and understand you're a temple of God. I'm a temple of God. Why would I want to defile you? More importantly, what he was getting at here and who he was speaking of, there was all this philosophy going on. There was all this head thing going on. And I think of our Christianity today in our country. Where is it headed? We're departing from doctrine because the people don't want it. We can't stand for those types of truths. People don't want to come in here and get that. Your church is too intense, Brother Jesse. Let me tell you something in case you don't know. Jesus Christ is intensely in love with you. And he never stopped and he's never changed. The only thing that's changing is you. And one way or another, you're changing. We're either becoming more like him or we're departing from the truth, brothers and sisters. That's it. And this is the time. It's the moment is now. I always love that carpe diem, you know, where it is that seize the moment. And it's true. We need to seize it. We need to take that time. It's a precious time, and the time is now. And we cannot let these things slip. By his grace, we need to stand. And if there was ever a time to even stand and withstand and stand again and stand in defense of, it's now. The enemy's so subtle. And he's coming in such a subtle way. And there is a great form of godliness that's denying the power thereof. Now, I am saddened in one sense. I'm surrounded by many Christians, and it's wonderful. However Christ is preached, I do therein rejoice. But I understand there's a great slumber coming upon most people. And brothers and sisters, I'm here by the grace of God to be awake. And I'm here by the grace of God to help you be awake as well, too. And we need to be awake. Our time is coming. We're going to be exalted in due time. And I believe the season is about among us. Praise God. So let's be in that spirit that would be encouraging and edifying one another. Not to tear down one another. We're going to read about, Lord willing, tonight about how we're not to judge. I'm not here to judge you. That's up to God. And right now, as a Christian, by the grace of God, I hope you understand He's judging you for the reward you're about to receive. Isn't that wonderful? There's a treasure being made in this earthen vessel. It's going to take a glorified body to expose it someday. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. It's coming. My time's coming. Your time's coming. But again, we need to edify. God says again, you know, Him shall a God destroy that's going to defile that temple. Remember, you are the apple of His eye. Remember again that if He be for you, who can be against you? For the temple of God is holy. And I've heard people read it this way so many times. I don't know if you've ever caught them. Which temple are ye? Have you ever heard people read it that way? I have. And you know what? It really is the truth how they're seeing that. There's no question there. It's just a fact. If you're a child of God, you're the temple of God. And that's what He's encouraging these brothers and sisters in. You have the Lord. You have everything. What are you doing? You need to wake up. You need to just be who you are. You need to let and quit doing. You need to be and quit trying. That's how God works. Oh, that's how God works. And it's a mighty work. Let no man deceive himself. I love that. Be who you are. You're a child of the King. I don't need to pretend. I am something in Christ Jesus. I am. I don't need to pretend to be anything else. I'm really learning to get free in Him. I'm learning in a good way and in a godly way. You know what? I don't care. God's going to take care of it. God's going to take care of me. I want God to free me up. To be the man of God that He wants me to be at every single moment. That if He wanted me to lift my hands in praise of Him, I will do that. But if He wants me in quiet prayer and He wants me to be alone that way with Him, I am satisfied with my Lord. I don't need to be how you need to see me to be. I need to be how He sees me. I talk to people all the time. Oh, I'm encouraged, brother. We're being encouraged how you're encouraging people to pray out, to have a zeal for the Lord. And that's the truth. I want you to feel free to lift up holy hands. Brother Hill used to say, break up that ice that might be on the back of that pew. But at the same time, don't let anybody tell you what to do except for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're not robots. Don't want that. Don't want the strange fire. I want to worship Him in sincerity. I want to love Him and it be the real deal. Because that's the one that's going to marry Jesus Christ. I don't want to pretend bride. And I know He doesn't want one either. And He's not going to have one. Because He searches the reins and the intents and all of that in the heart. He knows you. Everything's naked before Him. So I think we need to lay aside those types of things, brothers and sisters. And continue on by His grace in the pure love that God has given us. The beautiful unity. And I believe we're headed that way. I commend my brothers and sisters in this meeting. And again, it's God's faithfulness in you. This isn't a pretend time. This is something that's real. This is something that has to be real in our hearts. This has to be something that He takes us on. This is where He is the one that's the drawer. It's not of anything of me that's getting this done. It's God's workmanship in me. And I believe that we're coming into that type of fellowship more and more and more with Him. So again, the fact is that we are the temple of God. And that the temple of God is holy. Isn't that wonderful? I am the temple of God and I'm holy. I don't have to try to be holy. I am holy because He has made me holy. He has made me righteous because I am His temple. It's done. Those three wonderful words, it is finished. I'm perfect in Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, I want the perfection to be complete in maturity. That's the whole difference. As we've been reading, as we have been rejoicing, the mature sons of God are the ones that are led by the Spirit. I want to be a joint heir. I believe there is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I believe that that's the mark and that is the prize. I believe that is the greatest of rewards. I believe that that is Paul's absolute dispensation revelation message that he has brought forward, that God had given him. And we're going to see how Brother Paul, in all humility, brings it out to these folks that think they're so high and mighty and knowledgeable, and maybe even holy and free, but yet they're just resting in their own carnality. And that's what they are. So, here we go. So, if any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. I think so much of John 3:30 as John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. That's the whole, that's our whole walk. And I know you know that. If you want to get somewhere with God, you got to get out of the way. If you're really going to become mature in the Lord, you have to, again, allow that self to continue to decrease in your life. It's the only way. That's His program. That's the platform that He set up. That's the plan. Jesus Christ is the increase in our life. It is not done in a religious ceremony. It is not done in religious tradition. It is not in my dirty self-righteousness. Again, that's just increasing me. That's just increasing my ability. Christ Jesus said, decrease. Decrease. In your infirmities, as I was rejoicing with my mother, the very power of Christ rests upon you. I don't think there's anything else I'd want resting upon me. But I'm going to tell you, that's the only way you're going to get it. And Paul, by the grace of God, he gave us a very clear plan to that. 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Now, how many times again have we read that in the first two chapters? Foolishness with God is the wisdom of the world. Foolishness with God is the wisdom of the world. For it is written, He takes the wise in their own craftiness. And I do have to admit, I often hurt and am sorrowful for these men and women that get up and are so bold and brazen. Like that man today that I read in the paper with the RTD. He says, well, I don't want God to be in the oath anymore, because He's so smart and He's so wise. Because, oh, we live in a country that we shouldn't acknowledge anything, because this should be something that would be free to everybody to be able to do. Now, He's so pious, and actually you can start to see the public and the man, and his man in its natural state starts to go after that stuff, doesn't it? Well, maybe he's right. Maybe if we worship God, that's something to, we're discriminating against others that don't. Maybe you shouldn't breathe air because it's discriminated against one of the other gases. That's how silly that is. Now, I hurt for them. And you hurt for them. But that's that foolishness. That's that I'm so smart. I'm so big. I'm so beyond in my mind that we don't need God anymore. This God thing is for people that are weak. This God thing was something of the past. We have to get, we're man. We're exciting. We develop things. Look at the technology. Look at all of our accomplishments. Don't wonder after that stuff. That's what He's telling us here. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. They're empty. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You can't fool God. Sometimes it's hard to watch some of these ones that God does just let go, and they just go on and spew such vile things and wickedness and blasphemies. But I remember a time of my wonderful Savior when He stood there and they would spit on His face and they tore His beard. And His visage was marred more than any man's. And yet He sat there and He endured that. And all He could say was, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." I want to have that kind of love. I really do. See, He's the judge. And it's going to come. But it's going to be on His time. And by the grace of God, I do want to have compassion and I do want to love. And I don't want to hate within me just to hate for a principle or to hate for a cause. The only thing that God has sent me here to do by His grace is to love and to grow in that love and to love as He loved. And as God so loved, He gave His Son, His only begotten, to die for everyone. I want Him to increase. I want that love to increase. And by the grace of God, then something can be done mighty in my life. Verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. So again, this glorying in man. I think about all the shows of the accomplishments of man. Now again, I do get excited, and you understand and know that I love things about flight and space and all that. I think that's a wonderful thing. But let me tell you something. All them achievements, worthless. Nothing. I mean, I think about how they are talking about how powerful, you know, now the weapons of destruction that we have. And how we have a bomb now that's, you know, 10,000 times greater than the bomb that was dropped over there in Japan in World War II. Just one sun explosion off one of the smallest stars that's even in the galaxies that we know is how many trillions times greater than the greatest bomb that's ever dropped on this planet. And I'm going to get excited about your power. And I'm going to get excited about somebody who has $1 billion. Or I'm going to get excited about somebody who has an IQ of 185 or maybe a little bit more. It's all foolishness to God. Really put it in perspective. We need to understand and believe God at His Word. See, again, that's what gives us our confidence. That's what gives us our hope. That's when I realize, not in myself, but I'm not second to anyone. I'm God's Son. I don't worry about those types of things. I don't need to be envious. I don't need to be jealous. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that you're running well. If God increases you, praise the Lord. And if He brings you low, praise the Lord. I trust Him. I believe Him. I believe Him at His Word that He's not going to withhold anything good. And that's the good fight of faith, man. That's exactly what it is. And He's bringing us into that. Trust Him at His Word. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. I want you to remember what we read back there in chapter 2, verse 9. All things are yours. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear has heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. My wife and I got lost last night. We drove through old Cherry Hills. And I used to go out there, and the company that I worked with, we'd make loans on a lot of those homes out there. And I used to think they were big back then. And now they've torn them down, and there's palaces. Beautiful stuff. And I love beautiful architecture. Just amazing things. Well, that's entered into the hearts of men. That's actually been built. This is beyond any imagination that's ever been. And that's for me. Now am I wealthy? That word just really insults how rich I am in my Lord. Isn't that something? It's real. It's absolutely flat out real. Praise God to believe Him at His word. I'm convinced, persuaded. Oh, He's able. And He's going to perform these things because He's promised them. And I believe Him at it. And I want to trust Him. I know that that bank account is real in heaven. Praise God. And that's what He has for me. Hallelujah. All right, so for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come. Basically gets everything. All are yours. No one has an advantage. I don't have an advantage on you. You don't have an advantage on me. Paul doesn't have an advantage on me. You get it? It's offered to everyone. When he really said, I would that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth, he meant it. Every bit of it. When Epaphras prayed for the complete and perfect and all the will of God, he really meant that. God can't lie. It's impossible for Him. His word is true. The only thing that's keeping us from that and really from happening in your life is your unbelief. That's it. He said He's blessed me with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. There isn't anything lacking. The only thing lacking is my belief. They're there for me. It's boldly to the throne and I can pick every one of them up. But I need to go in there boldly. Boldly is believing. It's mine. It's my possession. That's my house. That's my house. That's my throne with my Lord. Come on in there and get it, son. I don't want to be apprehensive. I don't want to be shy. By the grace of God and His Word, I'm not worried about offending you. If the Word of God offends somebody in some of the things that maybe we talk about that the Lord tells us that are ours, then I just encourage you, you better get out of your self-righteousness. Because that's really the only thing holding you back. Oh, but He wouldn't do that for me. Well, did He say He would? Did He say, really, what yours is mine and mine is yours, that can actually happen someday? That I could be a joint heir with Christ Jesus? That I can rule and reign with Him? Did we not read that all creation is groaning and wanting to see the neck sticking out, the expectation of every bit of it is the manifestation of the sons of God? The fully developed ones, the ones that are mature, the ones that are going to marry Christ Jesus. That's the focal point. That as I was rejoicing with my sister today when he said in the beginning they were there and was God. And we know in the beginning was God meant God was with His Son. Praise the Lord. And they were planning this whole thing out. And the whole plan of the whole ages was He was going to hand it all over to His Son. So that had to be in the very beginning. But there's something that the Son has to have as He takes His throne, and that's the bride. Do you believe that He is as appreciative of her as she is of Him? I hope you do. That relationship wouldn't be right. Yeah, He's the head, but oh, she is just His beauty, His glory. She has her own light too. All from Him. I understand that. But He loves her. Yes, He does. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Now, isn't that wonderful? Talk about the oneness in Him. Talk about what's behind you. Do you realize what's behind you? Oh, hallelujah. And in front of you. And holding you. I was talking to a brother that I've known for many years, and I sure love him. And just, I know has a zeal, but just does not want to settle down in the truth. And he says, going through a hard time right now. He says, oh, all I've got is I'm holding on to God. And I said, oh, brother, when are you going to realize He holds you? Just that little simple thing. Man, when you realize that, you're off. You're off and running, aren't you? But whenever I just think I'm holding on to Him, He's got me. He's got me. And in knowing that, that's how I apprehend Him. Oh, I'm thankful it's His strength because I don't have any. I'm thankful it's His wisdom because I don't have any. I'm thankful it's His might because I don't have any. And that's the truth. Chapter 4. Now we're going to get in here, the faithful steward. And we're going to see the seven proofs throughout this chapter, or the evidences of this steward. So chapter 4. Let a man so account of us. That means take note. You can add it up. It also means to observe. As of the ministers of Christ. And again, this is Paul referring to him and Apollos and the different ones that were with him. And stewards of the mysteries of God. Now in that first verse, I want you to understand that this word minister, it means a faithful minister means a subordinate to God. And we are subordinate to God, obviously. But acting under His direction and under His sole discretion. That's what a minister is. But then it even goes on to steward here. And here's such a beautiful thought. Stewards of the mysteries of God. And a steward is a manager of the estate. And let me tell you something. Paul, as we read in verse 10 of chapter 3, he was the wise master builder. God appointed him to be that position. God appointed that it was Paul that was given the dispensation. Paul was given this mystery, or to be the steward of this mystery. Ephesians 3, 4 and Colossians 1, 26. What is that mystery? Christ in me, the hope of glory. What is that mystery? That the Gentiles now would be joint heirs. As man and wife with Jesus Christ. It was hidden from the other ages, wasn't it? It was hidden from those sons of men. The prophets wrote about it. The angels wanted to look into it. But it wasn't meant for them. You're special. A very special temple of God, if you'll allow that work to happen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. So here comes the first evidence of a steward. If you ever wanted to be faithful. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Now, let's think of this of Brother Paul. So wonderful. We'll get to maybe someday 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12. Right there, Paul begins. He says, I'll tell you what, you've caused me to boast. I've got to tell you how faithful God has made me. You forced me to do it. Also in Acts 26:19, I think this kind of even sums it up. It says there, as he was talking to old King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. God given you a vision. I believe by the grace of God, I really do, if you're in this meeting for any length of time, God's given you a vision. The choice is, are you going to be faithful to the vision? Is it real to you? Does it mean something to you? Is it something that we just talk about? Oh, I know about that Bride of Christ, and I've heard this from many people growing up here that I would run into. Why aren't you in church? Well, I've heard those sermons before. I know all about the Bride of Christ. Huh? And I've told you in the natural. How about if I was that way with, or you were that way with your wife? Oh, that's great. Yeah, you feel that way? You can go see Johnson and Johnson, and here's my attorney's phone number probably, you know? I mean, we're not going to get along very well that way. We got to honor and cherish. Huh? We got to be about this thing. But it has to be real. And again, you can't force. I was, again, speaking with my mother, and we were talking about some different things. And these people, you know, almost trying to force spirituality on people. They don't work that way. That's God's work. He gives the increase. He's going to make you spiritual. Nobody can do that for you. He's the one that works that in your life. But again, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. And here we start into the second one. The second requirement or evidence or proof of a steward is blameless. And I love how Paul, again, is so patient, but yet how God has given him such wisdom and the Holy Spirit and how he writes here is, I think, is quite witty. But with me, it is a very small thing. That means it means nothing to me. Nothing to me that I should be judged of you or another man's judgment. Man, I don't even judge myself, he says. Christ is my judge, is what he's getting at. And you think about these carnal Christians that were out here. These were babies in Christ, and they were judging Paul. Now, what about when people judge you, huh? Do you think if Paul endured it just a little bit, maybe you could too? And just sit there and say, oh, Lord. Because Paul does care for him, you know that. He wouldn't be here with him. He wouldn't be writing to him. He wouldn't have wanted to come back to him. But here they were, judging him. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified? But he that judges me is the Lord. Paul said, he's even saying here, I don't know anything of myself. I think about David in Psalm 139:24, where he says, search me, Lord. Know me. If there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. David recognized that he didn't know himself well as the Lord knew him. God, come in here and search me. Know my heart. You know my heart. Let's get it done. I really do want to win you. I want your best. David wanted to be the overcomer for his time. I want to be, by the grace of God, the overcomer for this time. But I'm justified, and he that judges me is the Lord. Now, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, pay attention to this. Because this is one the devil gets us on real quick. Where we start looking across the pews, and we start looking at one another. And I'm starting to judge you. I want discernment. I want wisdom. God tells me to pray for that. But that's not judgment of somebody. That's understanding what the Lord is doing. Ye that are spiritual, restore, cover. Pray for, lift up. Don't expose. That's not the thing that we're trying to do here. I want to be the one that, if I do catch my father in nakedness, that I would go to cover him. And pray. And try to restore by the grace of God. Those are the things that I want in my life. That's the spiritual one. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. And then he says, in case you don't know what that time is, until the Lord come. Okay? So just put it all away. That's God's business. He'll take care of that stuff. So let him do it. Who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And I love that part where it says, we'll make manifest the counsels of the heart. Turn with me to Romans 2:16. This is what Brother Paul was given. Now let's see what brings to manifestation the counsels of the hearts. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, I think we're talking about the same thing, by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. I was talking to a couple ladies the other day that say that they'd like to come to church. I don't know after I talked to them if they want to come to church here. But they asked what we believe. And they're Christians and they're sweet ladies. But once we got onto the topic of the revelation, the dispensation that was given to Paul, you could see it was just gone. What are you even talking about? Grown up in the truth, and they've known Christ as Savior since babies. But they're not grown up in the things of God. This is what it's about. And these intents of the heart manifesting the counsels of the heart, this is Paul's gospel. This is where it's at. And I'm getting excited about Corinthians and studying about this because this is just laying the foundation more and more. Let me tell you something. Brother Paul was given it. That when he said, follow me as I follow Christ, he wasn't kidding. That God was instructing, he was pleading, he was saying, take notice of this. I'm giving you a chance to be the high calling, one with me, a joint heir. And here is the blueprint. Here's the path, here's the plan. And this brother of yours has walked it. And he exposes, by the Holy Spirit, all of the different challenges that Paul went through. People ask, well, why do you study the epistles so much? Follow me as I follow Christ. Now, I want to understand the full and all of the Word of God. Don't get me wrong. But that's why we concentrate so much on what Brother Paul was given. It is for this age. So here we go. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Now we've entered the third characteristic or proof or evidence of a steward, and that's humility. If we're not humble before the Lord, if we're truly not in humility, we'll never grow in the grace of God. It won't happen. He cannot work with us when we're pride, when there's pride, when we're hardened for some reason, when we think we could bring anything to that altar. It's Christ's work, and the humility has to be there. Understanding and knowing. This is what he was talking to these folks about, being carnal. You can't add anything to it. And again, I love it. The first four chapters, he doesn't even go in and start hitting any of the fleshly sins with these folks. He's hammering on the philosophy. The carnality that somehow in their mind, that they're going to get somewhere with God. That there is something that they can bring that God's going to be so astounded or appreciative of. Because they've done something. And yet we know it's wood, hay, and stubble. And everything that they've been building up is going to burn. But thank God for His faithfulness, because they're still going to be saved. But isn't that going to be a sad day when you would think that everything that I thought I was building up is just wood, hay, and stubble? And you know, I was thinking about that day. And I do believe, as we studied in Revelation, now the Bible tells us when we're in heaven, there's not going to be any sorrow, there's not going to be any pain, there's not going to be any crying. There's just not. There's not going to be any. So once we're there, by the grace of God, it's going to be a wonderful time. It's going to be amazing. I pray and have been praying that the Lord let us touch upon a time remotely like that this coming weekend, that we can fellowship together like that. That's not worthy to be compared, but in a sense, I know His glory is going to be here because He's going to be here. But you know, in His infinite mercy, He can bring us into that union with Him and into that humility with Him. And again, He says that it's me in learning in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up one against another. That's the humility that we need. Let's turn to Romans 12, verse 3. It says, therefore I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. How much more clear does it need to be? Humble ourselves before the Lord. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what is thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? As if thou hadst not received it. So let's go back and look at this. For who makes thee to differ one from another? I tell you, I still think of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 there. There is one star that differeth from another in glory. There's a glory of the moon. There's a glory of the sun. There's a glory of the stars. So what causes us to differ? His glory. It's Christ in me is the hope of glory, isn't it? Isn't that a wonderful thought? So what's going to cause me to differ from you or you from me is how much glory I'm allowing to work into my life. And that glory is just Christ in me. It's that simple. That's the simplicity of the gospel. That's what's going to build me up in this. Praise God. So and then it goes on to say, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? It's all by grace. It was a gift. I gave it to you. Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? Meaning glory in myself, that there was something I did to receive it. I glory in the glory that I've received, but it's all glory to God. That's the difference. It's not the glory in myself, it's the glory to Him, that He has given it to me. Praise His name. Now, ye are full, now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. Oh, this is something. I appreciate how Paul brings this back to him again. You can see that he's about at his limit, but the Spirit is constraining him here. But he says, you know, you're full. They're full of something here. They're full of their own sufficiency is what they're full of. And then he goes on and says, and you're rich, not in Christ right now, but you're rich in your own successes. Right? These are the things that you have done. Oh, and you have reigned as kings without us. Oh, we got out of here and you started reigning. Yeah. Ruling over each other, huh? I'm something. Look what I built. Look what I've done. Yeah. And I love what Paul says here. I would to God that ye did reign. I really do wish you were reigning. Because we'd be reigning with you. You know what Paul's saying there? You're not going to reign without me. See, his confidence is in Christ. His confidence is not in himself. And this is, again, such a... It just solidifies the message of follow me as I follow Christ. We are not going to reign if we don't follow that. And as he was telling these people, if you're ever going to reign... I'll tell you what, I'm reigning there with you because I know I'm going to win him. This is the message that he has given me. God has sent me to put the church in order. You Corinthians are out of order right now. Listen to what I am saying. By the grace of God, this is the word. This is the truth that you need to have in your life. For I think that God has set us forth, us the apostles, last, as it was appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Now here's the fourth one, if you want to be, by the grace of God, a steward, is the suffering. It has to come, the suffering. These guys were ridiculed. They suffered for Christ's sake. They suffered for His name's sake. But He said, we were made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. But they could profess that they knew the Lord. And why? Because they knew Him as Philippians 3:10. Let's just read that together. I think it's important that we would read this together right now. This is why they knew Him. That I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His suffering. Being made conformable unto His death. Now that's how we know Him. But the next verse that you read is why you want to know Him like that. There's a reward. There's a benefit. If by any means, any way, any shape or form, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Brothers and sisters, there's benefit to us. And that resurrection of the dead is obviously the out-resurrection prior to the tribulation beginning. So we know that. We are fools for Christ's sake, back in verse 10. But ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you're strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even into this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place and labor working with our own hands, being reviled. We bless being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring, and that's the refuge, the lowest class of criminal is really what that was about, of all things unto this day. I write these things not to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. What is he warning them? He's warning them and he's warning us to not reject the suffering. Do not reject the suffering. It's part of the plan. He's laid it down. And I know you're nodding your head. I see some heads drop. I see some faces smiling. I see some faces in tears. It's the way. It's not going to come any other way. It must be this way. It's the only way we're going to know Him. It's the only way we're going to reign with Him. If you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. If we deny that suffering, He's going to deny us the right to reign. You're awful quiet. And I hope you're thinking about this. Because it really is the laid out choice. Is it going to be God's way? Or is it going to be my will be done? And these are the things, by the grace of God, we really need to have Him search our hearts. Are we sincere? Are we sincere about really winning His best? And Paul said it here. I don't know if you're going to suffer like Paul. I don't know if I'm going to suffer like Paul. But the question is, are you willing to go? Do you really believe that it's worth it to go that far? Do you think that maybe by the grace of God that you would trust Him if you were in these type of situations? And I know some of the ones in this place are facing similar situations. Is it worth it? Now we know in the Word it is. But is it worth it in here? That's what matters right now. Is it real to you? Amen. Brothers and sisters, I'm convinced. I am absolutely convinced. It's so marvelous. There's going to be a winner. And He's calling you on, and He's encouraging you on. There was a joy that was set before me, He said. And I endured all that. And I became a man. Oh, He became a man. And He lived that for us, see? And I have hope in that. Because the same power of His might is now mine. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. And greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world that's going to try to defeat me from it. Amen, amen. And I even read about Paul this week again. And he said even he had Satan buffet him. Go read that one and what that means. God so loved He sent everything, every little thing, to bring us on. It's marvelous, brothers and sisters. It is so absolutely marvelous. To the detail, marvelous. Brother, just like you're saying, it's true, so detailed. I know it's overwhelming you, and it's wonderful. And in grace, He is going to have us face more things tomorrow. He will. The way of escape has already been made for every one of them, though. But I assure you, He's going to challenge you again tomorrow. He gives you some reprieve. Sometimes I don't feel like I've come up for air for a long time, though. All been there, you caught a big wave, and it was fun for a moment, wasn't it? Till you're upside down, you don't even know where the surface is, huh? I remember a couple times, and I tried to go back up again, and then that next wave came again. I was down there trying to breathe the sand on the bottom of the ocean. It's scary. It can be uncomfortable. Yeah. Despairing of our own life. But there's a plan. And that plan's all in His love, isn't it? Isn't that precious? All right. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank You again for Your truth. We thank You for Your love. And Lord, thank You for again bringing our hearts here this evening. Lord, we do ask that You just send great encouragement to those that were at home this evening, that again, that You'd be with them in such a special way. And give us a yearning to be in the meeting. Give us yearnings to be in the meeting this weekend. Lord, just inspire and just enlighten, prepare the hearts to receive the Word of God, if You tarry, that this would be such a glorious time, that there would be lives that truly would be changed for You, Lord Jesus. That there would be awakenings in hearts that may have been sleepy for quite a few years. That the love of God again would just run free and rampant in this place, Lord Jesus. That there would be such an opening of You and Your, again, fellowship and warmth and truth, Lord. Help us to enter into that. As You said in Your Word, don't let there be any divisions. Don't let there be any divisions. Seek peace with all men as much as lies within You. Lord, help us to love as You love. We ask that You keep Your hand upon each and every one as we go home. Keep us safe. Lord, just be our protection as You are. In Jesus' name, amen.